And I can't get it off my mind. Usually that's a good sign that the Lord wants me to bring a message from it. I just preached a message from Psalm 23. Do you remember when I preached the last message on Psalm 23? Shake your head up and down. Say, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure do. Sure do. When was it? Well, about 6 months ago. Now you remember? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was about 6 months ago. Yeah, now I remember. Yeah, sure you don't. Don't lie. You're in church. You don't lie in church. Amen.
I don't remember.
January 27th. Right? You said? That's exactly right. Jeffrey had it down in his notes. Now, Jeffrey, I'm not preaching the same message. Okay, I got a whole different one. So, I might use some of the points, but I'm not going to. This is totally different. I can't get past a word in this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to give it to you in a few minutes. But I will ask you one more time to stand, and we're going to read it again. And I know, we just read that. We just read from Psalm 23. What do we got to read it again? Can you really get too much Bible?
No.
You never can get too much Bible.
That's right.
And can we read a chapter or a psalm, you know, too much? No, you can't ever read anything too much. And so we're going to read it out loud again together. Can we do that?
Amen.
All right, we're going to read the 23rd Psalm out loud again together. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we ask that You would be working and moving and blessing this message. Lord, You know what You want me to say. I pray that I would say what You want me to say and not what I want to say. And so, Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit would work and move upon us today. We pray that You would guide through this message. We pray, Lord, that again, that only You would be exalted and magnified. Lord, I pray that You would just remove me from the scene so people can see You. Lord, I pray that You would bless this psalm. I pray that You would bless this passage of Scripture. Lord, we ask that You would bless the message. Use it again, Lord, to maybe bring somebody closer to You, or maybe there's a lost soul in this room. We pray for their salvation. Lord, bless and move upon us in a tremendous way, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message is really the same as I preached 6 months ago, and I preached out of this. I have outlines in my Bible already there. I have all these outlines that I put. When I preach a message, many times I'll put the outline here. But 3,000 years ago, David wrote this psalm. About 3,000 years ago. 1,000 B.C. is when David wrote many of these psalms. You know that his bones are long gone? David is long gone. His body is long gone. His bones, his body went back to dust. Now, I believe that he is in Abraham's bosom today. I believe that he is just waiting for that resurrection of the dead. And so, eventually, we will be able to see David and talk with him. His harp that he played, his other musical instruments, that he calmed the soul of Saul and did so many things and played his instruments and wrote these psalms. Those instruments are long gone. Nobody, I believe, knows where they are. If somebody came along and said, hey, I think I got David's harp, I think they'd be lying because it'd be almost impossible. His staff is nowhere to be found. The sling that he used to kill Goliath and those five little stones, guess where they are? They're gone. They're gone. Now, some people would take something like that and they'd lift it up as an idol, but no, those are gone. The sling is gone. The five little stones are gone. That stuff is all deteriorated. The parchment that he used to write the psalm down is gone. The quill, whatever writing instrument that he used to write this out, is gone. His throne has deteriorated. Wherever he sat in Jerusalem on that throne, that is gone. His house is gone. His palace is gone. Everything that he had is completely gone. The crown that was on his head is gone. The clothing that he wore is gone. Everything has been destroyed that David had 3,000 years ago. However, this psalm is going to live forever. what he wrote down is going to live on forever and ever. Its message is still with the same comfort and challenge. It's still in tune with time. You probably would agree with me that you would say that the 23rd Psalm is probably the most popular psalm in the Bible. Amen? I believe it is. It is read at more funerals. It is quoted at more funerals and gravesides than any other psalm or any other passage of Scripture for that, at least that I know of. But it's still in tune with the time. It's still, there's no dust, there's no decay, there's no mold, there's no must on this psalm. It's as good today as it was 3,000 years ago when he wrote it. Or when he sang it, I should say. We still read it at the bedside of the sick and at the bedside of the dying. It's read at all of the funerals and gravesides. It is a prescription pad for any ailment that anybody has. And maybe you've even used the 23rd Psalm yourself, as maybe there was something that you were going through in your life. And so you would crack open that book and you would read or quote the 23rd Psalm. More people have that psalm memorized than any other psalm. It's an amazing psalm. I believe that Jesus learned it at the knee of Mary. I believe that Peter, James, and John learned that psalm, memorized it early in their ministry, in their life. Paul, the apostle, sat at the feet of Gamaliel and learned the psalm and learned so many things, learned other things. The church fathers knew it by heart, I'm sure of it. The pilgrims, I am told, quoted it on the Mayflower as they were coming over. The martyrs by the thousands would quote it before their death. They were heard quoting the 23rd Psalm before they died, that horrible death that they were going through. Millions recite it before surgery. More millions quote it before bedtime and even in the morning. You say, well, that's a vain repetition. Well, at least they quote it. Amen? At least they say it. Do you ever quote it and say it? Is there anything wrong quoting and say no? There's nothing wrong with it at all. Many quote it as maybe a vain repetition, but at least they're saying it, at least they're reading it, at least they're quoting it. It means something to millions of people around this world. Does it mean anything to you? The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the 22nd Psalm is considered the Psalm of the Cross. It's considered the Psalm of Suffering. There are at least 18 prophecies in Psalm 22. At least 18 prophecies pertaining to the suffering of Jesus Christ in the 22nd Psalm. Many have labeled this Psalm as a Psalm of the past or the Psalm of the cross of Christ because that's what the major prophecies are dealing with. The 23rd Psalm has been kind of listed or labeled as a Psalm of the present because it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is a present. Do you know the 23rd Psalm is just as up to date in 2019 as it was 3,000 years ago? Do you know this Bible is an up to date book? Oh yeah, it was written in 1611, but do you know that this King James Bible is still an updated book? It's the most accurate, it's perfect, it's preserved, it's pure. There's nothing that can compare with this book anywhere in existence upon the face of the planet today. And then the 24th Psalm is considered a future psalm. It deals with the glory of God, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And so you've got that the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th Psalm is all focused on Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the 23rd Psalm today. 23rd Psalm has 118 words in it. Not a big one. Nothing like Psalm 119. Go ahead. Quote that all day long. You probably can't quote Psalm 119. I'm sure that there are some verses in there that you can quote. Anybody ever memorize the entire Psalm 119? The entire Psalm? Anybody ever memorize that? There are people that have memorized it. Most of you probably have the 23rd Psalm memorized. Amen? If not word for word, almost word for word, right? But it has 118 words in it. It's all it has. It's got 17 personal pronouns in it. I. You say, well, David was pretty, self-focused. No, he wasn't. Self-focused. He was focused on the Lord and realizing how good God was to him and how the Lord was focused on him. But there's 17 personal pronouns in this passage of Scripture, in the 23rd Psalm. Somebody said that he actually wrote this later on in his life. I don't know exactly. There's no date ascribed to it. There's no title. Spurgeon said you don't need a title for this passage of Scripture. You don't need a title for the Psalm. It gives its own title. The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
That's the title of the Psalm.
Yep.
And so it doesn't come. All it says in my Bible is a Psalm of David.
Yep.
No specific instances. Many of the Psalms, you go back, you read through the Psalms, you say, well, this is where he was being chased by King Saul. He was hiding in a cave when he wrote this Psalm. He was over here doing this when he wrote this Psalm. And so a lot of the Psalms do have an introduction to them. And you can read those and get an idea as to what was going on during that particular time. This doesn't say anything, just the Psalm of David. But it's such an amazing psalm. This little phrase here I can't get by. I said the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night this past morning. 3 or 4 in the morning, I don't know. I looked at the clock, it was 4 o'clock. Thanks a lot, Lord. I mean, I'm tired. I need to get some rest. But there's one little word there I can't get by. It's the third word in verse 1. The Lord is. The Lord is. The Lord is what? Well, I know the rest of it says the Lord is my shepherd. We'll get into that. But I can't get past the Lord is. I've underlined the word is on that verse. The Lord is what? Do you know, as we said in Sunday school, TJ said there's 176,000 words. Mary Ann says she sent me the link, TJ. It's on my phone. There's 1 million words in the English language. And so you two fight it out. I don't know how many words are in the English language. It doesn't matter. You stay over there. You stay over here. Alright? All these people are in between. So if you see those two going at it, you just, alright, separate them. I don't know how many words. I don't really care how many words are in the English language. It's a lot more than I know. I mean, I only know a handful of words, and I have a hard time with those, right? Don't you sometimes? You probably know more words than I do. I make up my own as I go. You know that. I have my own vocabulary. I have my own dictionary, so that's kind of the way it is. But I can't get past the word is. I did look up the meaning of is. You ever look up a word like, what does Webster say is means? You know what Webster says is means? It means is. It means third person present. It means right now. The Lord is. And I the Lord woke me up thinking about the Lord is. Then He started to put all these things in my mind about what the Lord is. And I couldn't get back to sleep thinking about all the things that the Lord is.
Yeah. Amen.
He's amazing.
Yes. Amen.
He's incredible.
Amen.
He is my forgiver. He is my sustainer.
Yes.
He's my Savior. He's my Father.
Amen.
He's my life.
Yes.
He's my meaning in life.
Amen.
He's my purpose in life. What is the Lord to you? The Lord is. Now, so often I've been guilty of this. Every time I've ever preached, I've never stopped on the word is before. But today, as I said, Jeff, this is a different message. I'm stopping on the word is for a little while. To describe a little bit of what God is to you and I. Have you ever just stopped to think about what God is to me? What is God to you? Is He personal to you? Or is He some force out there somewhere that can't be touched, can't be talked to? Do you know that God listens to your little menial prayers? Matter of fact, your little menial prayers are not little and menial to God. They mean something to Him. God is a prayer answering God, but not only that, He's a prayer listening God. He listens. God is, the Lord is. And we could go on with all kinds of vocabulary. I didn't write anything down. I said, Lord, there's too many words in the English language to write down what you are. This is what I was thinking about too. Do you know that when we get to heaven, do you know that our vocabulary is extremely limited right now? I don't know how many words you know. I know half a dozen maybe, I know a few. I get by. We all know many words. But you know, do you ever think about when we get to heaven, our mind is going to be like unleashed. I don't think the universe can hold everything that God is. The Lord is. We're going to spend, I believe, during the millennial reign of Christ, after the tribulation, we go through that seven, we get raptured out of here, hallelujah, we go through a seven-year tribulation. And then at the end of the seven-year tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds, sets up His millennial reign, rules and reigns from Jerusalem. We rule and reign with Him. I believe that. Several scriptures that I've found shows that we will be here with Him, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher say not long ago that just for 1,000 years, we're going to go through a Sunday school class we've never gone through before. We are going to learn by looking visually at Jesus Christ and what He is doing during that 1,000-year millennial reign. We're going to learn so much about the Lord is. Boy, He's so good to us. I know you've got your problems and I've got mine and we have our issues and you've got your health problems and you've got financial problems and we all got family problems. Right? I mean, we all got things. Yours is bigger than mine, and mine's bigger than yours, and you don't understand what we're going through. You don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand what you're going through. But God is still a good God. The Lord is. Yeah. Fill in the blank. You know how long that blank is? That blank is an eternity blank. It just goes on and on and on and on. You could put in all the different things that the Lord is to you, and they're all personal. It's one of those, you know what a line is, right? A line is never ending, right? You learned that in math class many, many years ago. A line is supposed to be an eternity. And when I think about the Lord is, there's a line that goes along and you just start filling in words. How wonderful He is. He's Counselor. He's a mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. We could get out a thesaurus and we could go through all the different things of what the Lord is to you and I. But what I want to try to say here to you is the Lord needs to be personal to you. Now you got to figure out what the Lord is to you. What is the Lord to you? Don't answer out loud, but think about what is the Lord to you? Is God anything to you? Does He mean anything to you? Does He mean anything to you? Is what is He? I don't have the words to describe. You know that you and I can't describe God? I can't describe God. What's God to you? I don't know. I can personalize it. I can bring it down to He's my Savior. He's my Father. He's my lover. He loves me. He's my sustainer. Keeps me going. But what if He took me off the planet right now? Does He still love me? Of course He does. Of course He does. The Lord is. I want you to think about that today as we just go through this message. I want you to think about what is the Lord to you? See, you'll do nothing in the Christian life until you personalize God to your level. Now, I'm not saying bring God down to your level. I'm saying you've got to personalize God to make Him to the point where He means something to you so you can then follow Him and do what He wants you to do. Our problem in Christianity, God is not a personal God to me. He's a force out there. He runs the universe. He made the water. He made the animals. He did this and that. But you know what? God is only there when I need Him. When I need God, I summon Him. I say, God, I need You right now. We talked about that in Sunday school. Lazarus was dead 4 days when Jesus got the message. When He got the text message from Martha and Mary, he waited 2 days before He went over there. Sat back and just waited. Talked to the disciples, did His thing, whatever He was. He waited. He put the whole thing on hold. Lazarus dies. Everybody's upset. Martha and Mary are like going out of their mind. My brother died. If you were here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus weeps over that whole thing. We as Christians, if we don't personalize God, He means little to us. Personalize Him. The Lord is. And then David says, my shepherd. mine, my shepherd. It's like he has claimed possession of God. He's my shepherd. Do you have anything that belongs to you? It's not a trick question. Do you have anything that belongs to you?
Yep.
Say yes.
Yes.
All right, yes. You have things that belong to you, right?
Yep.
Either things you bought, it's yours, you bought it, or maybe the bank still owns it or whatever. But, you know, some of you have cars out there, vehicles that you've paid for, they're yours. That's your vehicle. Now, I know that, you know, you want to be super Christian, so, well, they're the Lord's vehicle. All right, they're God's vehicle. My furniture is the Lord's furniture, and everything I have belongs to the Lord. Well, that's the way it should be, but normally we don't think that way.
Right.
Amen? If everything was the Lord's, you'd be living a whole different lifestyle, probably. But we do have things that's our possession. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." When I think about that, David filled in the blank, that eternal blank, after the word is. And David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He personalized it. He brought it right down. He didn't pull God down to his level, but he's claiming that God was his shepherd. That God, the Lord, was belonged to him, and he belonged to the Lord, and it made him a different man. It made him a different creature. It made him a whole different person. Because he personalized his God to his God. He belongs to David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Don't argue with David. That's what he wrote. The Lord was his shepherd. He said, "David, you need... Whoa, 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 time out. You need to share that shepherd because he's mine too." Well, he is your shepherd. He's our shepherd, right? If you're saved... Now, if you're not saved, he's not your shepherd. He's not your Savior yet. He's not your King. He's not your Lord. He's not your forgiver yet. But he can be if you're not saved. You need to trust Him. You need to put your total trust and faith in Him and believe upon Him, and He will save your soul. But is God personal to you? When you read this Bible, when you open up this Bible and you read it, is it a personal book to you? Or is it written to that other church member on the other side? Boy, they need this book. No, you need the book. It's a personal letter to every single human being that's ever been born. This is a personal letter from God. Personal. It was written with you in mind. It was written with, I believe, with us on God's heart, as He is having, as He gave the different writers of the Bible, as He's telling them what to write, He's thinking about us. He's thinking about me. He's got Terry Fenton on His mind. He's got you, everybody here in the room, on His mind. This is a personal letter from God. It's a personal inscription to us. When He died on the cross, you know the phrase that we use. If you were the only person alive on the planet other than Jesus Christ, He would have died for you, right?
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that's accurate and biblical. If I was the only one on planet Earth, He would have died for me. Because He loves every human being. He wants to save every human being. You know that. So let's make the Lord Jesus Christ our personal God. You might follow Him a little bit closer by knowing that He's a personal God to you. Now, is that something that you can go and stick in your living room and put it up on your mantle? He's not an object where you just stick Him up somewhere and then bow to Him. And that's not God. That's an idol. We don't believe in worshiping idols. We worship a God we cannot see. We worship a spirit that we kind of... God is spirit. And though that those of us that worship Him in spirit and in truth. Two things. You cannot worship something that you can see. There's a whole lot of people today worshiping something they can see. There's a Catholic church downtown. They got statues all over the place. They bow down and they worship those things. And others, Mormons and the Hindus and all of these places, they're worshiping idols. They'll go out and they'll find something and, oh, this flower is an idol. They'll take it home. A rock will be an idol. They'll take it home and they'll put it in their their mantle. They become gods. That's not our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, we had some good news. The church down in New York City is... trying to raise $1.5 million. So anybody that has $1 million, see me after church, all right? This church down in New York City, Jamaica, Queens, trying to buy a Hindu temple. It's for sale for $1.5 million. They want to buy that thing and turn it into a Bible-believing Baptist church.
Amen.
What a blessing that would be to take a Hindu temple that worshiped all kinds of idols and turn it into a Baptist church, a Bible-believing Baptist church, a King James Bible-believing Baptist church. They raised $30,000 the other night. We were part of that. We gave money for that. $30,000 came in. That gives them about $200,000 total, but they still need a lot of money to put down on that. But what a blessing it would be for that church. Pastor Dice is his name. For him to be able to somehow be able to buy that Hindu temple and turn it into a Bible-believing church. Because you know what Hindus do believe. They have over 300 million gods. 300 million gods. Everything becomes a god to them. To the India people. That's not who our Lord and Savior is. He is a personal God to me. I can talk to Him anytime, day or night. I don't need an object somewhere. I don't have to look at something on the wall. He's not a painting on the wall, folks. I know. You've got that long-haired Jesus hanging on your wall, and you go over by Him once in a while, and you touch it, and you just say, "Oh, Lord, You're so pretty." That's not Jesus Christ. You've got to get rid of that. Amen. He's not some statue somewhere. You don't touch a cross. You don't hold up your cross and worship a cross. That's idol worship. Please understand me. God is a personal God. He's a real God. He's not in an object. He's not pantheism. He's not something that you can walk by. You don't touch a tree and say, "Hello, God, how you doing today?" That's not God. The Lord is. David said, "My shepherd." And so you need to get this in your brain and in your heart today, that what is the Lord to you? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Is He your forgiver? Is He your sustainer? Is He somebody special to you? Is He just somebody that you might meet on a Sunday morning? If that's all if you come to church Sunday morning, that's my God. He's down there at the Seneca Bible Baptist Church. I'll show up here and go and meet my God, talk to Mike. No, that's not your God. If the Lord is really personal to you, you know you will do everything you can to follow in His footsteps every single day of your life. When Monday morning comes, you're going to get up out of bed and you're going to say, "Lord, let me put a smile on Your face today. Lord, let me put on the whole armor of God. Let me go out, Lord, and be a blessing to You today." But what we do is, "Lord, please, I'm having such a hard time. Lord, please bless me today. And Lord, just Lord, take care of this and that and this and that." We come to God with a little grocery list, and God, you know, we take care of this, and I know we pray for things. You keep praying for those things, but do you ever just say, "God, help me to be a blessing to You today"? Yeah. Amen. I'm out. I'm gonna go serve You, Lord.
Amen. That's good.
Come on, folks. Think about that. But we come to God with our grocery list. We come to God with our want list. "God, I need all these things here." He says, "I know you need them, but you need me more than you need those." We got a list of things we need, but God says, "You need me more than that. You don't need any of that stuff." Most of the stuff we want, we don't need. What we need is the Lord Jesus Christ to lead in our life, and we follow in His footsteps. And we say, "Lord, I just want to bring honor and glory to You today." The Lord is. What is the Lord to you? Is He anything to you? Is He special? Is He personal? Or is He your private little God that you have set up somewhere? No, that's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, when you get this personal aspect of the Lord, I'm telling you, the sky is limited as to what you can do for the Lord. But you've got to be willing to make Him personal to you. He has to be special to you. He has to be your God. As David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when I've got this nice little outline that I got all figured out here, and it is, you know, the shepherd is personal. That's my point number one. Shepherd is a personal God. I hope He's personal to you. I hope He means something to you. The Lord is my shepherd. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah 40:11. Isaiah chapter 40, look at verse 11. Look at verse 10 first, 10 and 11. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Our Lord is a shepherd. He is gentle. He is loving. Do you know that the sheep would never have to worry about the shepherd? Because the shepherd would always provide and protect the sheep. You don't have a thing to worry about today. Nothing. I know you're worried about this and this and this and this and this. You're worried about a whole bunch of things. You've got a laundry list of things that you're worried about. You don't have a thing to worry about. Amen. Nothing. You don't have to worry about your finances. The Lord knows what your needs are. You know, He feeds the birds, but they have to go and get the seed out of the ground. They have to go and pluck the worm out of the dirt, right? God doesn't pick the worm up for them and walk over to the robin and say, "All right, now come on, open your mouth. Here it is. Come on, open your mouth right now." The worm knows what to do. If the sparrow has to go and find that food, there's, you know, listen, you need to work if you're going to eat. Amen. I mean, some people got the mentality, well, I'm just going to sit home and wait for God to bring me a bag of groceries every day. And you're capable of working? It won't work that way. You will probably starve to death. He will feed you, but you need to be willing to work and do what you need to do to take care of yourself also. You don't have to worry about where your food's coming from, but you need to do something about it. You don't have to worry about your health. God has that in control. But are you doing things that hinders your health? So many people today, I don't want to get into it, but you know, we ruin our bodies. We smoke things we shouldn't smoke and drink things we shouldn't drink and do things we shouldn't do and eat foods we shouldn't eat. Amen. Boy, they fed us good at the Summit. Amen. Good night. Pie every day. Cheesecake. Coconut cake. Apple pie. Alamode. Oh, I'm going back in time. Rewind button. Going right back to last week. But I got home from that thing and I said, you know what? That wasn't good for me. Cheesesteak. Philly cheesesteak. I ate two of them. My second was without bread. My first one was bread. The second one was just a glob of cheesesteak with mushrooms and onions and peppers on the plate. And I ate that whole thing. How many did you have, Paul?
Two and a half.
Pies, the desserts. Once in a while, we'd eat a salad to make us feel a little bit better. So we do that to ourselves. We overeat. We oversugar. Amen. Kathy and I spent 4 months off from sugar. We felt a whole lot better. Somebody tempted me. The devil came along and tempted me. The devil made me do it, obviously, you know. No, I did it myself. And then you get back on sugar, and then it's no good for you. And boy, pie looks good, though. You know what? Especially when they combine, they make you do it. Eat this pie. Carrot cake. Eat this carrot cake right now. Come on, do it. Well, what if I don't want it? I'm going to force it down your throat. That's what they do down there. You got to be careful about going to those places because they will. They will force you to eat and they will force you to get you fat. But the Lord is my shepherd. He gives us the things that we need. I love it because it is present tense. It's present tense. It's not past. The Lord is used to take care of me, but He takes care of me no more. We have Christians that have that attitude today. Well, He used to answer my prayers. He doesn't answer them anymore. He used to do this for me, and He doesn't do this for me anymore. No, the Lord is still my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Acknowledge Him as such. This shepherd with his flock, He always knew them by name. He had all of his sheep all lined up, and He knew them all by name. He'd name them. You ask Brennan. I mean, my uncle had all of his cows named. The guy I worked for down the road when I was a teenager. All of his cows were named. He had 100 cows. And he had them all named lady names. No men names. All lady names. So where'd you get all those names? He'd be yelling out there, "Come here, you know, whatever." I'm looking around. "Come here, Valerie. Victoria. You know, Emily, get over here. Robin, come here." You know, and he'd be out there calling all those lady names. And they would just all of a sudden perk their little ears up and pew, go right to the barn. It was milking time. Boy, they were excited about that. But the guy that had these cows had them all. The same with the shepherd, with the sheep. He had them all named. He knew them all by name. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John 10. Boy, John 10 is a great chapter that deals with this whole issue of Christ and the sheep. But just a couple verses, we're running out of time here. He says in verse 12, "But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I," Jesus talking, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." So he not only do we know that he's ours, but he knows me personally. That's why David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He knows me. He's got my name. He's got my number." We might say, "He's got my number. He knows how to get in touch with me. I know how to get in touch with him." It's a personal aspect. The whole thing, the shepherd is personal. Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He says, "I know them. I know who they are." Listen, if you're a sheep today, you're saved. You know he knows you personally? You mean something to him. You are special. Now, I know we hear this the opposite day. "Oh, you're nothing today. You're just a dirty..." Now listen, we all are dirty, rotten, you know... We're all dirty, rotten sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
Amen. I'm the chief sinner, by the way, around here. Oh, yeah. I'm the chief. You're the chief. We're all the chief. All right?
Amen.
We're chief sinners. But Jesus still loves me.
Amen.
He still loves you. Amen. He cares about... He knows us personally. It's a personal thing with Him. What a blessing. The Oriental shepherd with his flock, he knew them by name. He goes before them and he makes sure that everything is safe. A shepherd would never just let the sheep go off on their own without tending to them. He would never just send them out into the pasture without being there with them. Now the hireling does that. The hireling is just a hired guy paid by somebody. "Hey, go tend my sheep." Okay. And so he's sitting over there underneath a juniper tree somewhere, just, you know, relaxing and snoozing all day long, and the wolf is coming and just devouring the sheep. He could care less. There are people like that in this world today. We as pastors need to care for our flock. We need to care for our people in our church. And so the shepherd was special. The sheep didn't have to worry about a thing. You know why? Because the shepherd provided them with everything they needed and protected them. He carried his club. He carried his rod. He carried his staff with him. And he would protect those sheep. If he saw a wolf or if he heard a wolf out there yonder, he would be ready to devour that wolf. David killed a wolf and killed a lion and a bear that was trying to get his sheep. "Go ahead. Is there anything else out there? You got another lion there you're going to set up? Come on, bring him over here. I'll kill him just like I killed the other one." That was the type of man that David was. That's who our Lord is like. He's not going to let a wolf or a lion come along and devour you. He's not going to let the lion of the devil come along and devour you. He's not going to allow a bear to come in your life and devour you and kill you. He loves you. He cares about you. It's personal with God. Boy, you know, I really do feel bad for Muslims. They don't have a personal God like we do. Allah is some force out there that they're scared to death of. They've got to kill all these people just in hopes to go to heaven. They've got to kill these people, jihad, and then they'll get their 72 virgins, and then they'll have a place in heaven. But they've got to go out and they've got to kill themselves or kill somebody else. That's not a God that cares and loves. But boy, we have a personal God. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Personal. You know, God looks right down from heaven and in this little crowd here, and there's not many here, but thank God for those of you that are here. Can't do anything about those that aren't. Some are traveling, but you know what? God cares about every one of you. Is He personal to you? Is he personal to you? Can you say like David, the Lord is my shepherd? Can you say that today? The Lord is my shepherd? If you're not saved, you can't say that. But if you're saved, you can say that. Let's say that together. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope you could really say that and mean that. Because that's who He is. He's a personal God. Just like the shepherd of the Orient would take care of the sheep. At the end of the day, He leads the sheep back to the fold and He watches and He examines every one of them. If there's any bruises or any hurts on them in any way, He would pour the oil on them to soothe them and heal them. He would watch over them. He'd look at them. He'd examine them as they came into the fold. And look to see, is there anything wrong with you? You're limping a little bit funny there. Let me check your leg out. Sure enough, that sheep had a banged up leg. Something happened out there that he missed. And so he would take that sheep and he would carry it over to the side and he would put some oil on it. And he would heal that put that ointment on there and that oil so that the next day the sheep was more active and could get by. If there was somebody that was really, somebody, I use it as a personal, but if there was a sheep that was really banged up, he would tend to that. He'd put it on its shoulder and carry it around till it was healed enough to be able to get down and walk again. Do you know that sheep were objects of property? Not wild animals? Do you know I belong to the Lord? I'm His property. So are you if you're saved. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're not to do what you want to do in life if you're saved. You are to do what God wants you to do. It's my life, preacher. Leave me alone. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, it's not your life. You're not saved with that kind of an attitude. Your life belongs to Jesus Christ, and you are to do what He tells you, not what you tell Him. We got a bunch of Christians running around telling God what they're going to do. I'm not going to church today, God. I don't feel like it. Oh, God will understand. Does He really understand? I don't think so. I don't have time to read my Bible. I can't do this and I can't do that. And I can't, we go on with all this stuff we can't do. And we tell God what we're going to do and we tell God what we can't do. And God is up there in heaven saying, what is wrong with you? I'm your shepherd. I can help you with whatever it is you're going through in life. But we tend to want to run our own lives. Sheep are objects of property. We're not wild animals. And then he says, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm trying to get through the point number one. We've got several here, but we're going to have to come back tonight to get some more of this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you know that the shepherd supplies all your needs? Well, I need this and I need that. He'll take care of your needs. Once in a while, He'll throw in a nice little want also. God is so good. There's been things that God has given to me that was way in the back of my brain that I didn't even pray about and all of a sudden shows up. You ever have anything like that happen? I've had that happen countless times. God, I didn't even pray about that. I know, but I knew you. Just trying to show you that I care about you. Just trying to show you that I love you. You ever do that with somebody? You know that somebody has a need, take out a $20 bill and give it to them? Take out a $100 and give it to somebody? You ever do that? Not me. I can't afford to do that. Try it once in a while. It's really good for you. You're not doing it to brag. You're doing it because God wants you to do it. So many times God said, give that money away. Do something for somebody. I found a $100 bill just recently. I have never found a $100 bill in my life. Did I tell you the story?
I'm missing one. Oh,
sorry. Where'd you lose it, Kirk? Tell me where you lost it, and maybe we'll talk.
Right where you found it.
Right where I found it. Oh, okay, yeah, it must be yours. I found a $100 bill. I've never found a $100. Anybody ever found a $100 bill before? That's pretty amazing to walk out in the yard. Ooh, I'm telling you where I found it. I know, I'm going to have 10 people. Hey, I lost a $100 bill out there. Well, sorry, it's gone now. But I found a $100 bill. I even had Sarah, I think, somebody, hey, check. I took it to the bank. I said, would you check this out and make sure it's real? Because I didn't know. Somebody could have made it and, you know, threw it out in the yard. They said, no, it's real. It's okay, good. So I stuck it away in my pocket. Somebody had a great need. And the Lord kept saying, give it away. God, I was saving it for something. You know what I was saving it for? For me. The Lord said, no, I gave it to you to give it to somebody else. Thanks a lot. So I gave it away to somebody that had a need. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying the Lord does that, though. He'll give you something. The next time all of a sudden you find a $10 bill, a $20 bill, a $100 bill, a $1,000 bill. I'm waiting for the $1,000 bill to show up now. Figure, hey, if you can trust me with $100, can't you trust me with a $1,000 bill? You never know, right? But sometimes those things, God does those things for a reason. For you to be a blessing to somebody, but for God to say, you know what? I want you to be a blessing to somebody else. And so, that's the way the shepherd operates. See, to be honest with you, I didn't need the $100. I didn't really need it. It was like, whoa, I can put it towards a new gun. I can put it... Yeah, you know, man, I've been saving for this one particular gun, this handgun. And man, Lord, thank you. I can put that towards with my Bass Pro cards or this or that. I'm thinking, oh, I got all this stuff is going through my brain, so I stick it in the wallet, and then all of a sudden somebody has this need, and I say, Lord, please, do you really? You know how much? But I could not get that off my mind. I have this little phrase: easy come, easy go. But you know what? Somehow the Lord will bless that. I'm not looking for the $1,000 bill. I'm really not looking for another $100 bill. But I'm saying that the Lord supplies our needs, or He might use you to supply a need for somebody else that has a need that you don't know about at the time. But He'll use you. Thank God for that. What a blessing. Don't be so selfish. Don't be so selfish. It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's about Him. How can you please the Lord Jesus Christ? He's our shepherd. You know what the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that a blessing? The shepherd knows exactly what you need when you need it, and He'll supply it. Or He might use you to be the avenue or the channel or the conduit to be a blessing to somebody else. Just to show, hey, you know what? It's not all about me. Let's not be so selfish that it's all about me. It's all about Him. Him. The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd today? Is Jesus Christ personal to you? Is He a personal God to you? The Lord is what? The Lord is what? What is the Lord to you? Is He anything to you? Is He personal to you? Is He your shepherd today? Are you His sheep? Do you belong to Him? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, you need to get saved. But then, listen, He's your shepherd. He does kind of tell you what to do. He does lead His flock. Is He leading you? Or are you going in your own direction? You know what He does with sheep that want to get out of the flock and go in their own direction? Yeah, you know what the club is for? We'll get into that tonight. You know what the club is for? The club is to break the leg of a disobedient little sheep that wants to go off in his or her direction. And so, I know, that's awfully cruel. Oh, the SPCA and the animal rights people, the PETA people would be all over the shepherd. I know, I understand that. This is not politically correct. He'd take that club and boy, he'd break that leg. I told you to stay with me. But then he bandaged it. He would bandage it all up. He'd splint it. And then he'd take that little sheep and he'd put it on his shoulders. And he'd walk everywhere with that sheep, carrying it everywhere it had to go because that sheep couldn't carry itself. And he'd tend to that sheep. I think he talked to it a lot. If his head was over here, he'd be, now, are you going to do that again? No way. I'm not doing that. You know, and so the sheep would be, no, you're not going to. And he'd walk a little ways. Now, what did I tell you a little while ago? You going to do that again? Oh, no, not me, not this sheep. Never doing that again. Because that leg was reminding that sheep, you don't do that. Some of you might need a, because you're doing things your own way. The shepherd is not personal to you, but he is to be personal to us. The Lord is my shepherd. Father, thank you again for the you being our shepherd, our lover, our caregiver, our supplier, Lord, you're so good to us. We deserve absolutely nothing.